But you ready to hear the word this morning? I'm ready to give you the word this morning. If you're writing a title down, you can write Redemption from the Curse of Poverty. Here's a curse of poverty. Redemption, though. What does that mean? We all right now. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, turn to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. You know, people think that God wants Christians to be broke and poor. I was going to say with your knees out and your blue jeans, but now I see a lot of that. And those, I looked at the price on them jeans and with the holes in the knees. I said, I'll buy some with knees. They're cheaper. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But in Galatians 3:13, it says, but Jesus has rescued us. Who's us? Us. Rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the next verse, 14. And he tells us through Jesus Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles. Blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. Isn't that some good news? It's time to say amen right there for sure. Promise to Abraham so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Right? Let's go to verse 29. Let's go to verse 29. Yeah. And it says, and now that you belong to Christ, for the ones who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to who? You. And yeah, me, you, it belongs to you. So I don't hear anything about being broke. You understand what I'm saying? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus came and he broke that. You know, there was a curse of the law before Jesus. And they had to pay the price. Because I've heard people say lots of times, man, I don't know if I want to serve God or not. He killed all those people. God didn't kill nobody. They were disobedient to him and got underneath, away from the covering of God. And they're right out here in the middle where the devil's at. You see what I'm saying? Got out here in the middle. So he's all messed up. So it says, what is the curse of the law? You ever thought about that? What is the curse of the law? The only way you can find out about the curse of the law is to go back in the first four books of the Bible. You can look in that New Testament. The expression, the law, is found in the New Testament, and it usually refers to the five books of the beginning of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And that's where you can find out about the curse of the law. And when we go back to these books now, you think about it, you get in there and read those, we find that the curse or punishment for breaking God's law is threefold. First is poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. And that's what happened to all of them when they disobeyed God. Aren't you glad you don't live during that time? A lot of people say, man, I'd love to live back there and walk with Moses. But you understand what happened to them over here. They still had that curse of the law. But we have Jesus. And that's a time to shout. We got Jesus to break that curse of the law. We don't have it on us. Because why? He came and he set us free. We have the victory because of what Jesus did. In the old days, you just died. Because you were breaking the law of God, and and you got hit with sickness, or you just no money, or you just spiritual death. And can you imagine what spirit? You say, well, what is spiritual death? Well, that's because your spirit and God's spirit are in tune together to be able to hook up with Him and be able to speak to Him through the Spirit, because God is Spirit, so we can be able to communicate with Him because of Jesus. People take Jesus' name very lightly. But I can tell you, Jesus' name is very strong. That's a strong tower. But I can tell you, we need to understand that he came and broke the curse of the law. Yeah. Now, does that mean you can go out and belly up at the bar? You go out and forget what you did the night before? You think you can go out and do whatever you want, go here and there and everything? No. Because there's a price to pay. I can tell you, it's a price to pay. Even though he broke that, and if you call yourself a child of God and you have committed yourself to God living a righteous life before him, he's going to take care of you. No matter how bad you are, he's going to take care of you. You know, I mean, he can take the worst and turn around to be the best. So we never want to give up on the promises of God and what Jesus did for us on the cross. I want you to look in 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. And he tells us, for both bodily exercise profits a little. I thought about that when I read that, and I said, man, I don't have to go exercise no more. I don't want to get sore. I don't want to pick up those weights and get all sore and everything. No, he says, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. When I read that, and you see that last part, the life that now is, you say, a lot of people I heard, well, this is it? No. And it says, of that which is to come. And now, if you're serving God, there's more to come. There's a lot more blessings coming. And you know, it says, man, I just don't know what I'm going to. What else it says right here? Of that which is to come. And I like that. You know, you ever do this on your TV? You want to know what else is coming on? You hit the guide button and you go a little further. See, let's see what's on later on. That's basically what we're doing. We come into God's house when we are worshiping him. We're pushing on the guide. We're going to see more things to come. And if it's from God, it's got to be good. Because why? Jesus broke the curse of the law. We don't have to worry, oh, Jesus, God's going to, he's going to take away all my animals. He's going to put balls all over my body. He's going to, you see what I'm saying? The old Job way. No, we do it the Jesus way, where he has broken that curse of the law. And some people would have you believe that we don't have to have any promises in this life, such as blessings or material things, but the scriptures declare that we can have those things. If you're worshiping God and you like a fast bass boat, I can guarantee you, if you're serving God and you're doing what the Word of God says, you might have 4 or 5 in your yard. Big ones. Why is that? Because you're serving God. God knows your heart. He knows you like to fish. And you coming in the church and you're worshiping God and you're doing what you're supposed to do according to his Word. God's going to bless you. How you know he's going to bless me with more boats? I'm just using that. Because you know in your life, you've been blessed. You said, where did that come from? How did I get that? God wants to bless his people. But a lot of times we're like this with it. Oh, no, I can't get that. They're the IRS are coming. Man, you don't worry about the IRS. If God blesses you, the IRS don't know nothing about it. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You know, and according to Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, it tells us, the curse of poverty was to come upon God's children if they disobeyed him. Okay? Thank God he don't have to do that now. How many in here would be punished? Maybe even on the way here. Praise the Lord. And, you know, he said, you know, God's children would be to punish. That's what he says in Deuteronomy, right? It was a curse that would come upon them because they failed to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes. You see what I'm saying? During the Old Testament, Jesus set us free from the curse of the law. And, you know, we need to be happy about that because he could have struck you out there on your way to work, on the way to church, and you know, because you were disobedient. But he's not going to do that because of what Jesus did for us. He has broke that curse of the law. Paul said in writing to the church in Philippi, look in Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Hallelujah. Are you set free? Say amen. Amen. Are you set free?
Yes.
Well, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm making me wonder. We're going to have to lay hands on some people. Hallelujah. And it says, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches. It's his riches according to him, right? His riches. It may, you know, you may be saying one thing, God, this God gives you this rich, his riches. So you know, a lot of people get mad because I didn't get what I wanted. But that was God's gift, his riches of glory for you. Hallelujah. And, you know, all your needs would include your financial, your material, and other needs that you need in your life. You know, if there's a lack in your life, I would advise to spend more time with God. You understand what I'm saying? If there's a lack in your life, because it shouldn't be a lack because of what Jesus did. Jesus, he took that curse of the law away. We don't have to be hiding behind a bush to not wonder if God's going to bless me or not because I messed up. No, all you got to do is go to him and ask him to forgive you. And when he forgives you, then you're right back in line for all your blessings. You know, we need to understand those things, all our needs, you know, like I said, financial, material, and any other need that you need in your life. Hallelujah. And we have to understand it. In fact, in that chapter, Paul is talking about financial and material things. He's talking about that. A lot of church people, they don't believe y'all not have all these material things. You shouldn't have all that financing and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they say, oh, here you go, talking about all this money. You're talking about all, you know, getting rich and all this kind of stuff, prosperity and all that. Well, we have a prosperity God. God does not want to see you lacking anything, right? He doesn't want to see you lacking anything. Look at Matthew 6:33. And what's he say here? He says, seek. Seek. Are you looking for the kingdom of God? Seek the kingdom of God. What's this? Above all else. Whoa. All else. Now, you know, you think about what's all else in your life. You think about that. Do I seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously? You know, that's something for you to think for yourself. And I have to think for myself, am I doing that? And he will what? Give you everything you need. Man, seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom? Right here in his word. And he tells us, seek the kingdom of God, but not just to seek it, but above all else. Up here, not down here. Above all else, and live what? Righteously. And he will give you everything you need. Well, he ain't done that for me. Are you following those plans? Are you seeking the kingdom of God above all else? You know, I mean, I can't answer it for you, but you can answer it for yourself. You know, these things shall be added to you. All material things in life, something to eat, something to wear, and so on, and so on, and so on. He will do that. Well, he ain't done it for me. Well, get back to that scripture. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Do we put the kingdom of God first? Well, I do whenever I need some. Guess what? You're not seeking God above the kingdom of God above all else. I mean, it's so easy. I mean, you want to go do something. You want to go do this or you want to go do that. But I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. I'm going to come into his house and I'm going to give him all the praise, glory, and honor. I don't care if I'm the only one in here. I'm going to do it. You see what I'm saying? I don't need, let's put it here, I don't need a house full of people to praise God. You can praise God right there in your kitchen. You think about it. I'm seeking the kingdom of God above all else. You see what I'm saying? And you know, and live righteously. He said, you just don't know what I did. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did last week. I don't really care. God don't either. All you got to do is ask him to forgive you. Ask God to forgive me, and guess what? I'm back in the saddle again. You see what I'm saying? That we can do that. And because of he busted loose that curse of the law. Now, we can't go out and just live however we want. You know, you think about it. A lot of people get born again. They say, well, I can do whatever I want. I'm going to heaven. I don't want to play with God that way. I want to give him everything I got. And if I can, and more. Because I'm seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give everything you need. That's what I like. You know, you ever gone to a restaurant and you got a buffet? You got everything you need. You go to some restaurants and you got only order from a menu. I like going to the buffet because I can get everything I want and go back. You know, that's what he's telling you right here. He gives you everything you need. So God is like a buffet. He can give you everything you need. You don't go out and just sit with one thing and look at it, the menu, and say, man, I'd rather have. I want the. Go to the buffet and you can get your salad. You can go down and just right on down. And then come back and you get the food later. And if you're still hungry, go get you some more food. If you're still hungry, because why? This is a fat church. We're faithful, available, and teachable. I don't look at it as big. Hallelujah. But you understand that some people seem to have the idea that if a person is a Christian, a believer of God, think about that, a believer of God is a mark of humility for him to live in poverty, right, and not have anything. You know, years ago in the denomination I was in, that was it. You know, you want to go. You know, your tires might need, you might have a big old bubble out on the side of it. You know, it's time to get a tire. But you know, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm suffering for the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you hear somebody say that, you think of, I want you to remember this. Jesus suffered for us so that we don't have to suffer. Just because you got a bubble on your car and somebody's tell you, oh, no, you got to suffer for the Lord. No. God has spared me for that. I have the victory. I'm going down and buy me a new tire before it blows out and leaves me on the side of the road. You think God wants to see his children on the side of the road with no spare, no nothing, with a flat tire? No, God wants his people to prosper. And he, you know, a lot of people believe that Christians ought to be suffering for the Lord. But that's not the way it is. But you have to understand that the soles of our shoes, they want, you know, you go to church, you have the soles of your shoes wore out. You got, like I said, holes in your blue jeans, and you're just barely getting along. You just ain't got, you know, waiting from one paycheck to the next. God don't want his children to live like that. God wants us to, he wants us to look good. He wants us to look good when we go out somewhere, you know, to look good. You know, even with the style of the holy knee shoe pants and whatever. Yeah, that's fine. It's style. You know, think about it. I mean, I used to wear those all the time until Mama put a patch over the front. I should have kept those jeans. I don't. Praise the Lord. You know, but it isn't what Jesus said. He said, you know, he didn't say about us Christians to be broke. Now, sure, now when you have a bill come up and you got to pay it, now, you're not broke. You're just short on funds. So understand that God's going to continue blessing you. And you know, I always thought about this from a study that we did about how to be financially stable. And the first thing is to tithe. You get your check, you tithe, right? And this was something it took me a long time to understand. Give to Jesus, right? Give to yourself, and then pay your bills. What do you mean by that? Well, you go to work, you bring in the first end to the house, right? You bring that in, you give to Jesus, and then you pay yourself because you go to work, and then you pay your bills. Well, I don't know if I could pay my bills. Well, don't get them. It's hard, you know. You understand what I'm saying? That sometimes we need to just kind of say, well, then don't be like the government. You look at your checkbook, you say, well, we got this much, and we'll pay. Well, I can't pay it all. Well, just pay. Pay what you can. You understand what I'm saying? That we need to pay God first, because God's going to bless us by first giving him what he needs. Does God need our money? No. He wants to see how obedient you are. You know, a lot of people think disobedience is a sin. People don't believe that. Disobedience is a sin. And if you hide from God, remember those characters that went up in there and Peter saw them go up in there and they only gave a little bit of their offering? And next minute you saw a bunch of deacons or whoever, pallbearers or whoever, hauling them out. And then his wife went in there and she ended up going to the same funeral home. You understand? But treating God is it's not good. Yeah, you know, you want to stay right with God, be obedient to his word. But Jesus is telling us, and he didn't tell us about we have to be poor. We have to be this. We have to do, you know, you got to suffer for me. Now, Jesus already suffered for me and you. Hallelujah. He said, first, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Putting him first will get you a long way. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You know, is it things I need? Yeah. I don't know if I need, but I would love to have them, some things. But you know, I've seen it to where God gives it in his timing. It kind of reminds me like you plant a garden. I would love to see this. You plant a tomato and you got tomatoes the next day. But it don't work that way. God says right here in his word for us to seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So in a Christian's life, there should be no lack. Now, I must not be a good Christian because I'm lacking a lot. No, it just ain't got to you yet. It's coming. You just, you know, you know, just like I heard, you know, she said one time, she looked at it, she says, oh man, I like this. I just don't have enough money yet. You see what I'm saying? Yet. It's coming. Just wait on God. And see his blessings come to you. And it means a whole lot more when God blesses you than it is to go into debt. You know, we have to understand that, because we have to seek the kingdom of God. Seek him first. And you know, it reminds me a lot of times when they were going across, you know, when they were leaving, walking around the mountain and leaving out of Egypt and headed to the promised land, and they were complaining about this. This is all we got to eat. Man. A lot of people didn't have nothing to eat. And here they are, God's supplying their needs. And he supplied their needs at night. He supplied their needs during the day. You see what I'm saying? God's going to supply our needs, but we need to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek him. And it's the word of God will set you free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God is not taking from you. He said they shall be added to you. You know, with God, there's no subtraction. It's all addition and multiplication. There's no division. It's all addition and there's multiplication. I believe the more you seek the kingdom of God, there's addition to blessings to you. And I can believe, and more you do the things of His Word. And I believe there's multiplication. Because God wants to bless His people. God wants to see His people thriving in a good life, where you walk in divine health. That could, you know, we're talking maybe finances, but divine health is important to a lot of people, because a lot of people are going through all kind of situations in their body, and I'm believing God wants to take care of it. Because why? We seek the kingdom of God above all else, and we live that righteous life. I don't know how to live. Well, get in His Word. Stay in His Word. Saddle up to His Word. And praise the Lord. And like He said, all these things shall be added to you. Praise God. Did you get anything out of this today?